NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight, the growing fears of a potential nuclear catastrophe in Ukraine. Russia threatening to take a nuclear plant offline in Ukraine, posing a risk to all of Europe. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warning the world is on the verge of nuclear disaster. It comes as the U.S. announces a massive new military aid package for Ukraine. Our team in Kyiv tonight. Also this evening, sentencing for one of the so-called ISIS Beatles for the murders of four Americans. The battle over the search at Mar-a-Lago, what the DOJ is saying as Trump allies push to release surveillance of the search. And Mike Pence today doubling down on defending the FBI. The emotional day in court, Vanessa Bryant, the wife of Kobe Bryant, breaking down on the stand, describing her pain after first responders leaked photos of the helicopter crash that killed the NBA legend and their daughter. After a summer of travel chaos, the Department of Transportation cracking down. Our exclusive with Secretary Pete Buttigieg. The ultimatum he's giving the airlines ahead of Labor Day. Danger in the water, two shark attacks at the same beach on the same day. And uniting for Ukraine, the music with the message, inspiring America.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We are reminded again tonight just how high the stakes are in the war in Ukraine as focus turns to the state of a Ukrainian nuclear power plant now in the hands of Russian forces. Ukraine officials making some pretty disturbing claims of what they say are Russian intentions at the plant that potentially risk a radiation-spewing nuclear accident. One Ukrainian energy expert calling it madness, absolute madness. The latest satellite images of the plant reveal no obvious signs of damage from fighting. The war shifting on multiple fronts tonight. Ukrainian-backed guerrillas stepping up their attacks inside Russian-held regions and even inside Russia itself. Tonight, with a new $775 million American military aid package soon on its way, Ukraine's President Zelensky thanking President Biden and tweeting, "Ukraine will be free." Megan Fitzgerald has the latest now from Ukraine.
Tonight, fears of a nuclear catastrophe at Europe's largest nuclear plant in Zaporizhia, Ukraine, are intensifying.
The United States remains deeply concerned.
Russia has been occupying the facility in Ukraine's east since the start of the war. Now, Ukraine is warning that Russia may take the plant off the electrical grid, a precarious move that energy experts say raises the risk of a nuclear accident, sending radioactive material across Europe.
And now there they have war machines, and they have explosive materials, and they have shelves, and it's a madness, absolute madness.
The power company that manages the plant says the Russians are already moving to shut it down, which would deny the country a key energy source, saying the Russian military is looking for fuel to power generators to keep the reactors cool.
The most dangerous status of reactor is when they're moving from the operations to cold mode.
This all comes as the UN Secretary General is in Ukraine meeting with President Zelensky.
Any potential damage to Zaporizhia is suicide.
The UN chief calling on international inspectors to go inside the plant immediately. Echoed in a call today by the President of France to Vladimir Putin, who said he's open to inspectors. But earlier today, a Russian official said the visit may not happen until September. President Zelensky has repeatedly warned that may be too late. Meanwhile, there are new signs that Ukraine is on the offensive. Strikes hit Russian-controlled Crimea twice in a week, taking out military jets and destroying ammunition depots. A Ukrainian government official confirmed to NBC News that pro-Ukrainian guerrilla fighters have been involved with the attacks.
Megan joining us. Megan, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, the U.S. approving another $775 million in military aid for Ukraine. What are some of the details of what's in it?
Alessa, the Pentagon says that the package includes more ammunition for rocket systems, missiles, artillery, and for the first time, long-endurance, low-flying drones. Lester?
Megan Fitzgerald in Kyiv tonight. Thank you. He was a member of the brutal ISIS cell known as the Beatles. Today, a federal judge in Virginia sentenced El-Shafi El-Sheikh to life in prison for his role in the killing of four American hostages in Syria. They were journalists James Foley and Stephen Sotloff and two humanitarian workers, Kayla Mueller and Peter Kasich. A deepening divide tonight between Donald Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence over the FBI agents who carried out the search at Mr. Trump's Florida home. Kelly O'Donnell now with the latest.
Tonight, visiting the Iowa State Fair, Mike Pence defended law enforcement amid an angry fallout over the Mar-a-Lago search.
We can demand that they reveal why this search warrant was executed against the residence of a former president of the United States without demeaning the rank and file men and women of the FBI. And I'm going to continue to be a voice for that.
Pence did not answer questions about criticism of the FBI coming from former President Trump, who blasted these accusations tonight. The atrocities being perpetrated by the FBI and DOJ. They have no shame. They are destroying our country. Mr. Trump's allies have repeatedly dangled a possible video release to show what happened inside the estate during the search. A Trump attorney says that should be made public.
I would love for the country to see what I saw from those cameras.
But today, a Department of Justice official told me they urge those with access to video taken during the Mar-a-Lago search to use caution. If video is provided, that it obscures the faces and identifying information of law enforcement personnel. Lester?
All right, Kelly, thank you. Emotional testimony by Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's widow in her lawsuit against Los Angeles County. Bryant says she suffered emotional distress after crash photos of her husband were taken, then shared personally among first responders. Here's Miguel Almaguer.
Vanessa, Ms. Bryant.
Braving the cameras on the eighth day of trial, Vanessa Bryant stayed composed entering the courthouse. But today, after taking the stand for the first time, Kobe Bryant's widow broke down when asked about the circulation of crash site photos showing the charred remains of her husband and their 13-year-old daughter, Gigi. I felt blindsided, devastated, hurt, and betrayed, said Bryant. Fighting through tears, she continued, I live in fear every day of seeing on social media and having these images pop up.
One copter down with medium brush.
Bryant and another family are suing Los Angeles County after first responders took or shared photos of the 2020 crash site for personal use. Circulated on cell phones, testimony showed the pictures were shared at bars and even a banquet by firefighters and sheriff's deputies. I trusted them. I trusted them not to do these things, said a sobbing Bryant, saying after the photo leak, I have two choices to try and live my life or end it. Just days after this tearful memorial where Bryant spoke of her loss, the L.A. sheriff said he ordered deputies to delete photos taken at the Calabasas hillside.
Here at court, the county defense team is arguing the pictures never became public and could not have caused Vanessa Bryant to suffer emotional distress.
Now a jury will soon decide if Bryant was victimized by the very people who were called there to help. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now to an NBC News exclusive. After a summer of airline meltdowns, the Transportation Department is warning airlines to improve their customer service policies, or the government will order changes to compensate passengers for delays or cancellations. Here's Tom Costello.
After receiving billions in taxpayer support during the pandemic, the nation's airlines are tonight under intense pressure. Improve their customer service or the government could soon impose tough new passenger rights. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
So now you're kind of laying down the law for the airlines. They can either pony up on their own or you're going to enforce this for them.
That's right. I'm giving them an opportunity right now. We can do more rulemakings and even more enforcement.
In a letter to airline CEOs, Buttigieg writes, the level of disruption on Americans have experienced this summer is unacceptable. Since Memorial Day weekend, 23% of U.S. flights delayed an average of 52 minutes. 2.2% of flights canceled, most in June. Contributing factors, weather and air traffic control problems. But the FAA insists airlines get most of the blame for booking passengers on flights they didn't have the pilots for. Now the DOT wants airlines to provide refunds if a domestic flight is changed or delayed more than 3 hours, hotel accommodations for overnight delays. And with confusing airline rules on refunds and voucher policies, the DOT will roll out a new website Labor Day weekend, posting each airline's policies.
We want to make sure very clearly spelled out so that passengers know what they're getting when they buy a ticket.
The airline industry insists carriers strive to provide the highest level of customer service and look forward to working with the DOT to continue providing transparency for the traveling public. With Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas travel ahead, mounting pressure to avoid a summer repeat. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
It was a tough week for many of the nation's big retailers, a growing number of them sounding alarms as inflation has so many Americans struggling to make ends meet and altering the way they shop. Here's Maggie Vespa.
With inflation's grip on American wallets holding strong, new numbers from a growing list of retail giants prove spending habits are shifting.
What have you cut back on again?
Clothes, shoes, a lot of makeup.
Now it's just like, okay, do I really need these, you know, do the kids really need these sweets?
Department store Kohl's saying it will take a hit this year, blaming a drop in demand for clothes and non-essentials. This as Target reported a staggering 90% drop in second quarter profits compared to a year ago. And Best Buy recently announced in-store job cuts nationwide after a summer sales slump.
Everything becomes about, do I really need this?
The retail red flags waving alongside new federal data showing between June and July, spending remained stagnant. Consumers putting savings from falling gas prices, now down 21% since June, toward essentials like food.
Yeah, everything here is store brand.
One place Americans aren't spending their extra savings, car dealerships. And the reason? Owners say, look at all these empty spots. How is your inventory looking right now compared to like normal times?
At about half.
Staff at Chicago area Continental Toyota blame a drop in car sales on the chip shortage and other supply chain issues strangling production. Some customers waiting 8 to 10 months for the car they want.
They come in thinking that we have the hybrid vehicles readily available, and we don't. I've never seen anything like this.
Experts now increasingly optimistic that the Fed's move to raise interest rates could mean inflation peaked earlier this summer.
We are starting to see some relief in the inflation pressures, certainly for gas. So it does seem like there's some hope on the horizon.
That hope coinciding with back to school season. And the good news for families is that major retailers are rolling out big discounts to try and boost sales. Lester.
All right. Maggie Vespa in Chicago tonight. Thank you. In 60 seconds, two shark attacks on the same beach on the same day. And the desperate search for that 16-year-old girl missing for 2 weeks now in Northern California. The specialized team now joining the effort.
This podcast is brought to you by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. For more than 75 years, Americans United has defended your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. White Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU's work at au.org/NBC.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations, and they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
Back now with not one, but two shark attacks at South Carolina's most popular beach. Authorities say a grandmother was bitten while swimming with her grandson in Myrtle Beach on Monday. That same day, about a mile away, a second swimmer was attacked. Both victims survived. Police say they can't tell if the attacks are related. Also tonight, the desperate search for a missing teen in California. After 2 weeks, authorities haven't found a trace. Now her family is turning to volunteer divers who've spotted clues others have missed in the past. Here's Erin McLaughlin.
It's been 14 days since Kylie Rodney went missing following a late night party at a campground in Truckee, California.
I just want her to come back and be okay.
Her disappearance triggering a massive search. Authorities scouring the surrounding area for any sign of the 16-year-old or her car, and releasing surveillance images of Kylie in the hours before her disappearance. And yet, authorities appear no closer to finding her. This week announcing they're scaling back the search.
We've had over like 9,000 man hours into searching, which is pretty astronomical. Our biggest problem is where do we go and how do we keep sustaining this?
Desperate for answers, Kylie's extended family reached out to a group of volunteer scuba diving sleuths to help.
All of the agents, sheriffs, and detectives that I've spoken with are all completely baffled.
Earlier this year, NBC exclusively profiled the group Adventures with Purpose when they helped a family find their missing mom.
It's a Kia.
Specializing in cold cases of people and their vehicles gone missing underwater, on Saturday, they'll start working with local authorities to search for Kylie.
Almost everyone that we find is in areas that other agencies have already searched.
What is it about your technology that sets you apart?
It's the ability to manipulate it the way we do.
Tonight, volunteer sleuths doing what they can to keep this case from going cold. Erin McLaughlin, NBC News.
There's more ahead tonight, including our investigation into gun tracing. We look at the outdated system and how it's impacting solving crimes. Next. We turn now to our NBC News investigation. As shootings soar nationwide, we found it now takes the ATF about 2 weeks to perform routine gun traces. Stephanie Goss now on the red tape that has agents struggling to keep up.
The streets in Louisville are under fire. During the height of the pandemic, nearly two shootings every day.
Our focus is very singular, and that is to get illegal guns off the street.
There are so many guns.
Erica Shields and other police chiefs like her rely on the ATF to trace guns used in crimes. But that's when, she says, federal law gets in the way.
The agency is purposely being obstructed from operating at the levels that they can. It's very frustrating. We're dealing with homicides.
At the ATF tracing facility in Martinsburg, West Virginia, we got a close look at the system that's slowing things down.
The boxes that are lined up on this wall, on that wall, they're filled with documents that haven't been scanned yet, right?
That's correct, yes.
Records that have not been scanned into your system.
That's correct.
Gun records from dealers that have gone out of business. So many, they spill outside into shipping containers.
Now we're up to 40. Each one contains an additional 1,500 to 2,000 boxes of records.
Gun sales have to be recorded, but there's no law requiring dealers to digitize them.
You've got people sifting through. It's like dropping into 1985 here. Doesn't it feel like that at times?
It can. It can feel a little old school.
But the ATF isn't just drowning in paper records. It must also follow a 1986 law written to scale back gun control in this country.
What we're specifically prohibited from doing under the law is establishing any sort of database of the names of gun owners in the United States.
In other words, there's no way to enter a serial number and search for the owner.
I need to speak to someone who can help me with an urgent firearm trace.
The ATF can follow a gun from manufacturer to point of sale. But if the dealer is out of business, and that's nearly half of all traces, ATF workers have to scroll through records one by one without knowing when exactly the gun was bought.
Try to go into that month time frame. If you cannot find it, you should span it out for a year.
Urgent gun traces, like after a mass shooting, take roughly 24 hours. But a routine trace can take up to 2 weeks.
Do you need more people?
Sure.
Do you need better computers?
Absolutely.
You need more money.
Those are things that would all improve the trace turnaround time.
Others say the decades-old tracing system needs to be thrown out.
It's absurd. And unfortunately, the rule as it is today is designed to stop them from doing their jobs.
It is outrageous. And I blame the Congress.
Senators Leahy and Gillibrand sponsored legislation to automate the process, but the bill went nowhere. In a statement, Senator Ted Cruz said it would undermine the rights of law-abiding citizens by creating a national gun registry. The ATF is simply following the law.
This is document scanning just about as fast as it can go. And they say they average 250,000 records scanned in a single day. But if they stopped getting gun records today, it would take more than a year to clear out the backlog.
Which is why Chief Shields is frustrated.
You think that this is appropriate to do to the ATF? Then don't tell me you're pro-law enforcement. You are standing there giving all of us who are on the front lines the middle finger.
Unless Congress can agree a fix is needed, this is how tracing a gun will have to be done. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Martinsburg, West Virginia.
And up next for us tonight, a musical mission of hope and freedom, inspiring America. They have not been silenced by war. An orchestra of Ukrainian musicians finishing their U.S. tour this weekend. Here's Andrea Mitchell with tonight's Inspiring America.
On this stage, these artists aren't just making music. They're on a mission.
I truly believe that we are defending our Ukrainian culture here.
In the shadow of war, 74 performers have come together to form the Ukrainian Freedom Orchestra. It's a mix of refugees from Ukraine and those with Ukrainian heritage.
Music is something that expresses human emotion that no language can.
Led by conductor Carrie Lynn Wilson, the group is on tour, bringing the music of their homeland to some of the biggest stages in the world. They call themselves Artists of Resistance.
We're on a mission. We're on a mission to fight on the cultural front for Ukraine. And what better way is to hold up our instruments instead of our weapons?
Nazari Stets is of fighting age, but got special permission to leave Ukraine to go on the summer tour with the orchestra. Back home in Kyiv, his street has been pummeled by Russian rockets.
Can art survive in the midst of war?
No choice. It must survive.
This week, the orchestra arrived in the U.S., performing outside Lincoln Center in New York City. As night fell, the orchestra played their final piece, an arrangement of the Ukrainian national anthem, hoping to send a message through their music. Ukraine won't be easily silenced. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, New York.
And that is nightly news for this Friday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.